You're listening to Grow Great, the podcast, season 2021, episode 2. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. Grow Great is a podcast helping leaders establish and sustain high-performance cultures in their careers, teams, and organizations. And I'm glad that you're here. This is always the path to improvement. Yesterday's know-how may not answer today's challenges. That was my original working title for today's show, but I changed it, and I changed it to "This is always the path to improvement." I've got a quote by Peter Drucker over on my About page. It says, "The greatest danger in times of turbulence is not the turbulence. It is to act with yesterday's logic." I do not assume that I'm going to take issue with the late, great Peter Drucker, because I'm not. I believe he was right. But I'm not terribly anxious to speak in absolutes, not normally, because, well, life has taught me just how dangerous it can be to think that we know the answer, only realize that we, not only do we not have the answer, we don't even understand the problem. So I'm very careful, but I did use an absolute, always, in the episode title for today. This is always the path to improvement. So see if you agree or disagree. Now, call it know-how, call it knowledge, call it logic. It might not single-handedly give us the answers for which we're searching. Now, that doesn't mean that it's useless. Whatever you've learned in the past, whatever you know, whatever experience you bring, whatever perspectives life has taught you, it doesn't mean that they're just completely useless and worthless. It just means that we are blitzed with new data points. Well, we're blitzed with new data points every hour, every minute, maybe every second. As I hit the record button, today is Sunday, January the 10th, 2021. With all the political upheaval and all the technological upheaval and all the economic upheaval, Dr. Peter H. Diamantes, I'm not sure how he pronounces it. It's Diamond with an IS on the end of it. But he is, according to Fortune, one of the world's 50 greatest leaders. Well, who am I to argue? He has earned degrees in molecular genetics and aerospace engineering from MIT and a degree in medicine. That's right, he's both kinds of doctors. And he got that degree from Harvard. Yeah, look at the big brains on Peter. He's also the author of a book. I want to make sure I get this title completely accurate. The Future is Faster Than You Think. It is subtitled How Converging Technologies Are Transforming Business Industries and Our Lives. Now, here's a guy who clearly he has forgotten more than I'm ever going to learn. And when you encounter big brain folks like this guy, you take notes. Well, me, I'm working hard to just try to understand what guys like him are talking about, but thankfully the book is written in a way that I can. Well, The Good Doctor, he's written 3 books. And one of the things I most enjoy about his work, I guess, could just be summed up in optimism, because he has a viewpoint that the world is largely better than you may think. And as he dives into a variety of topics in this latest book, The Future is Faster Than You Think, I think the title reveals the focal point, right? I mean, it's speed. Well, we are getting faster. But you already knew that. I already knew that. We feel it every day, not just in our work. We feel it in our personal lives. What once was described as a hamster wheel, well, we gave way, the hamster wheel gave way a long, 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 long time ago to a bullet train, and now we're probably up to at least a rocket. When Peter Drucker made that statement, the greatest danger in times of turbulence is not the turbulence. It is to act with yesterday's logic. Well, yesterday, when Peter Drucker said that, yeah, that was a different concept. Because today, the term yesterday, I mean, that could mean last hour. Are you confused yet? Yeah, me too. Right? But that's how we, that is what the current state is all about. It's turbulent. It's confusing. It's chaotic. It's just seems like it's almost anything but predictable. It's blindingly fast. Now, I'm a speed freak, meaning I like to figure things out quickly and I like to fix things fast. However, today's challenges, they require a little bit of time to process. And one of the biggest hurdles facing us is the self-imposed pressure that we put on ourselves to get it done right now. Or it could be also, it could be the opposite, the pressure to, well, we need to wait. We need to wait some more. We need to keep waiting because, well, the data just keeps coming in. Social media reveals how we are all likely heavily influenced to behave with a knee-jerk reaction, which is absolute proof that speed isn't always the most effective component toward growth or improvement. Certainly isn't the most effective component of wisdom. All you have to do is go back to last Wednesday and the debacle that happened in Washington and all of the political upheaval in the world. I don't know. I was having a conversation, not to wax too political, but I was having a conversation the other day with a friend, and I said, you know, I would certainly hope to believe I'm not political. I'm apolitical. I don't care. I'm a capitalist. So I'm in favor of things that are favorable for the small business guy, right? Because those are my roots. But we were, this buddy of mine, we were having this conversation. I said, I would certainly hope to believe that the majority of Americans are way more in the center than they are on one extreme or the other. And then you may have seen it, but somebody posted something. I thought it was rather clever and fitting that you do realize that the left wing and the right wing, they're both attached to the same bird. I don't know. I hadn't seen that. I thought it was kind of clever. Dr. Diamante's book reveals the big truth. Things are happening so much faster than we even realize, and we realize that things are happening fast. But he purports that they're happening even faster. And the shocker is we all know that these things are happening blindingly, blazingly fast. I suspect that few of us have considered that, well, we're misjudging the speed. We're misjudging the speed, thinking that it's slower than reality. I don't think very many of us are thinking, well, you know, the future is faster than we think. But he puts forth some pretty good arguments that we are. You know, as you know, I do a considerable amount of work in the city government sector, and city managers and HR directors have battled keeping updated on this pandemic in order to ideally serve their communities. And, well, the vaccine has proven just as challenging, maybe more so, as any element of this pandemic. I mean, how many are we going to get? When are we going to get them? It's the daily question vexing these people tasked with serving towns and cities throughout America. My work's limited here in Texas in that regard, but I suspect it's true all over the country. That unknown every single day is contributing to the turbulence in their lives and, frankly, in all of our lives. And that's just one, albeit a big component, of our world circa January 2021. So I'm having this conversation and the fellow says, nothing's new. Right? I mean, we hear that quite a lot. And I'm just compelled to say, well, maybe nothing is new, but the circumstances, the combinations, they sure might be. Case in point, the extraordinarily low home mortgage rates, the negative impact of government and politics on businesses, a host of other factors. I mean, we are in an unprecedented combination of circumstances. Who can argue that? What with the pandemic and all? And these things have contributed to driving, well, real estate prices higher and higher, making it hard for some to afford to buy a house. In fact, some are predicting a widening of the gap between the haves and the have-nots, sparked by more banks requiring a 20% down payment so they can obviously protect themselves. The wealthiest people, the wealthiest companies gobbling up real estate in what might be an unprecedented fashion. Speed, and the unknown. But another part of turbulence is complexity. Because I don't know about you, but man alive, as you look at most things, what is there that seems simple to you? I mean, I struggle to remember any time when things were, well, I struggle to remember a time when things were even simpler. Forget being simple, just can you remember a time when they were not as complex as they are right now? I mean, it may be among the reasons why you see more and more younger people embrace minimalism, something I've always found intriguing. I jokingly tell folks, I'm a non-practicing minimalist. I love the idea of it. In fact, I would happily embrace it. I just, up to this point, I have not put in the work that's required to practice it. But it's very attractive, isn't it? It is for a lot of people. Most people that I talk to about it say, oh, yeah, man, I would love to do that. And yet so few of us do it. But it does, I think, kind of speak to this yearning we have to get away from the complexity, even in our personal lives. We have all long known the fact that what got us here will not necessarily get us there. And so we keep on adding to our arsenal of knowledge, our arsenal of skill, our arsenal of experience. And, well, we should. Today's challenges seem to demand, though, a new way of thinking. Perhaps a completely different approach. Or do they? I mean, could it be that our existing know-how might not have been as ideal as we thought? Well, of course that's possible. I mean, never mind that it worked for us at some level in the past. Tyranny and foolishness can work. I can point you to history and show you in business and in government and in all kinds of areas where, yeah, tyranny and now what we look back and go, well, man, that seemed foolish, but they worked. They brought about some degree of success. We all know people or stories of people who have succeeded. Have you ever used the phrase, you know, man alive, he's making money hand over fist in spite of himself. Man alive, they are achieving great success in spite of themselves. Well, of course, we've all said this because we've all observed this. But it's also possible that yesterday's know-how worked even though it was not ideal. Now, I grew up in retailing. And growing up in retailing, I quickly realized how lots and lots of retailers in the 1970s practiced unabashedly bait and switch. That is, they would advertise a low-end product at an attractive price, and they might not even have it. Or they might have one. And then shoppers would be shown something at a bit of a higher price because, well, it had substantially higher profit margin. And this wasn't outlier behavior in the 1970s. This was very commonplace. And you know what? It worked. It worked. But even being taught this in my earliest days of retailing, I wondered as a teenager how much more success might be had if retailers at the time behaved with greater integrity. I had big questions. Would customers appreciate greater honesty? Would they be more drawn to a retailer they trusted more? Well, I got news for you. In the early to mid-1970s, I thought so. And I still think so. Is that know-how? Or is that something else? Well, for our purposes today, I'm going to roll everything into know-how. Knowledge, decision-making, philosophy, point of view, perspective, approach, you know, whatever else you would like to include in that. I'm rolling all that up and calling that one big ball know-how. Know-how. Which brings me to the bottom line for today's show. When it comes to leveraging the power of others, it's always the correct path to improvement. Always. You cannot have a high-performing career. You cannot have a high-performing team or a group or an organization. You cannot have a high-performing culture alone. You need help. You need the skills, the experiences, the know-how, the perspectives of other people to fill in all those gaps that exist. You will find greater understanding. You will find deeper learning. You will find fewer blind spots and so much more when you stop trying to go it alone. Think about any accomplishment in your life. You got one in mind? I don't care. Get a handful of them in mind if you want. Think about something that you're proud that you did. Who helped you? Who helped you? Think of the names of the people who helped you. Now just keep adding names to that list. Because I'm betting that more than one person made a sizable contribution to your ability to achieve whatever that thing is that you now look back and you're like, yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. This past weekend, I spent some time learning some web design things with a particular WordPress theme that I'm using for this website, growgreat.com. And like most website owners, you know, we get bored with our own website, and most people don't really care. They just want to make sure they can get to what they want to get to, especially on a mobile device. And we look at our big monitors and we get all caught up in the hoity-toity stuff. And I can be tempted with that, but you can tell by looking at the website, I'm not all that tempted by it. Well, rather than just diving in, I went out to the web and I sought out YouTube videos and some tutorials, and I visited a few forums to learn from other people who already know way more than me about this particular WordPress thing. I am not a professional web designer, but many of these people are. Well, it compressed my learning curve substantially by who knows how much. Go check out growgreat.com. I'm going to get newsflash. You're not going to see a new design. I was doing this while I was watching the NFL playoff games this weekend. So I wasn't quite as I wasn't being all that intentional about it. I didn't want to just sit there and watch football and do nothing. So, you know, I'm trying to learn something while I'm watching football. But I know way more than I did before. And it's not because I've got mad dog skills. It's not because I have all this prior know-how. Some of that helped. It certainly is not because I got a big brain. I can tell you what it is. It's because I've got Dirty Harry syndrome. Yeah, you know what Dirty Harry syndrome is. A man's got to know his limitations, and I know mine. Every high-performing career that I know personally, and that includes if you want to take some liberties with the definition, if I want to look at my own career, every high-performing career that I know personally, and every high-performing culture that I know personally, has resulted from listening to frontline people. It included asking questions and listening to the answers. That second part is a hugely, hugely overlooked problem. Well, shoot, they both are. Asking questions is rare among some leaders. And then listening, well, that's even more rare. The people closest to the work seem to always have the best answers. It's funny how that works. Go figure. I mean, you mean somebody who's doing this one, who's doing this thing or this one thing or these half a dozen things for 8 hours a day, week after week, year after year? You mean they know more than me who doesn't ever do that work? Yeah, it's funny how that works. You mean if the rookie employee seeks out the top performer in that same position, she might more quickly learn what it takes to succeed. I wish I had a dollar for every time I told some rookie salesperson that got some job in some company, find out who the top performers are, befriend them, get to know them, pay attention to them, have conversations with them, and listen, and watch, and they will show you what it takes to be successful in their particular arena, in their company. Now, I know that it's a novel idea for some, but it is so obvious, it's often overlooked. And it certainly is underappreciated, and I suspect I know why. It's too simple. It seems too easy. Our world is more complex than that. Our world is more sophisticated than that. Our world is moving so much faster than that. It can't be that simple. It cannot be that easy. Or is it? Do not let the American political scene drive you to knee-jerk reactions, stopped-up ears, and a mouth wide open. That is not the path to improvement. That is not the path to growth. I don't care if you're red. I don't care if you're blue. I'm pro-small business. I am anti-big government. So there's my bias. I'll put that out there. I am happy to confess it. I've just seen it play out too many times, and you have too, where our lives are enhanced, our lives are improved, our lives are made better in every way by working together to figure out what ails us and how to fix it. Today's episode was brought to you by my company, Bula Network. You can find out all the details by going to the website growgreat.com. You can just snoop around all you want. Click the About button. Click the Pear Advantage. I'm in the throes of building a few charter groups, peer groups, and if you are in a particular space that I'm aiming at, which one includes small business owners, small to medium-sized business owners, I'd encourage you to check out the Peer Advantage. It's all available over at growgreat.com. Well, so do you agree? You agree with my use of the absolute always? This is always the path to improvement, to lean on other people, to try to get rid of our blind spots and have people that can caringly challenge us, help us see things more clearly, help us figure things out more quickly. Grow Great, the podcast, helping leaders establish and sustain high-performance cultures in their careers, teams, and organizations. I'm your host, Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.